Welcome everybody to Hebrew Club. Once again, thanks for everybody coming. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to finish the chapter. We are ready to start verse 12. If you will recall the middle of this story, the Israelites were having trouble with the Ammonites, and this one Nachash had gathered for battle against them. When Saul heard about it, he gathered Israel together and went and did battle. Remember, he divided them into three columns, and they went and actually defeated the Ammonites. And as we left it in verse 11, the author of Samuel sums it up very nice, right in the middle of the verses where I'll start. Notice that, Vayakhu, and they smote Ammon up until the heat of the day, the Chom Hayom, the heat of the day. And as for those who were left, Vayaputsu, they scattered. All right, and there was not left among them two together. In other words, they just kind of were like ants. When you stomp on their anthill, they just kind of, that's what the picture comes into my mind, at least. So now what we're getting to is the aftermath of this particular incident. We're going to begin with, as I said, verse 12. Vayomer ha'am el Shemuel. And the people said to Samuel, this is now, remember, after the battle, Mi ha'omer Shaul yimlok aleinu. Okay, now notice, me is a question, interrogative. Who is the one who said? This is, what kind of form is the ha'omer? Simple call participle. Notice it's being used as a substantive with the article in front of it. Who is the one who said, and this is speaking as a collective. In English, you could probably translate like that, but who are those who said would be a little more idiomatic translation for us. But who is the one who said, notice you have the zakef there, so you stop, and here's what they said. Who is the one who said, Sheul yimlok aleinu? Now notice as you see it here, you would translate, Saul will reign over us. But the context almost makes it mandatory that you make this into a question. All right? Or notice some manuscripts add a lo. Now, you'll see why in just a second here. But, so I'm going to translate it like that. Who is the one who said, will Saul rule over us? And now notice, tenu. Here's an imperative from Natan. Give ha'anashim, give over, hand over ha'anashim, the men. Unemitaim. What's the root of nemitaim? Very common. It's from moot. And this to, right, moot is to die, and here's the hifil, to kill, to put to death. And so it's a vav plus, this is an imperfect, okay, first common plural, plus the third masculine plural ending. And we will kill them. Notice following the imperative, you very often have this form. That's the common way to follow up with the purpose or result clause. So hand over the men so that we might kill them. All right. So notice that's why I put that whole thing as a question, why some manuscripts actually have a not. And then you can make a statement. Who is the one who said, Saul will not rule over us? See, hand the men over and we'll kill them. In other words, and they're all jumping on the Saul bandwagon now after Saul did this great victory. Remember, Saul was just coming back from the field after being anointed king, and he hadn't really done anything kingly up until this point. And people remember, even when he was anointed, he was still suspect. So now after the fact, these guys are ready to wreak their vengeance. Okay, now we get a little bit of Saul's mercy in verse 13, which becomes interesting given the rest of the story of Saul. Verse 13, Vayomer Shaul. Then Saul said, Lo yumat ish vayom hazeh. Okay, look at that word yumat. What's the root? Then Saul said, Not. It's from moot again. Okay. So if the other one was a hifil, what's this form? The passive of the hifil, the hafal. See. So if the hifil means to kill, then this will be killed. See, so you would translate like this. Not will a man be put to death, hayom hazeh, on this day. See, or we'd say no one will be put to death on this day, bayom hazeh. No one will be put to death today. See, Ki Hayom, for today, Asa Yahweh Teshua. For today, Yahweh has done Teshua, salvation. See, so notice that that's from the root Yasha, to save, Teshua. We'll see this word a couple more times in the narrative. So again, Saul said, no one will be put to death today, on this day, for today, Yahweh has done salvation. Okay? Bei Yisrael, in Israel. Sorry. Any questions about verse 13? All right, we start kind of a new paragraph.
What would be the reason for connecting Asa with Yahweh there, in kind of that way?
Oh, I think it has to do with the reading of the text. It just shows that those two words are closely connected. And so as you read the text, you see that this is not maybe evocative or something like that.
I'm just wondering if there's some special
I don't know, you know, the Masoretes have their own reason for doing those things, and it probably has to do with the way that the text is read. That'd be my best guess, and it is a guess. Okay. New paragraph. Vayomer Shemuel El Ha'am. Then Samuel said El Ha'am to the people. Leku v'nelka ha'gilgal. Leku, what's the root? Kalak, good. It's a call imperative, almost used as a exclamatory particle. So in English we might say, come on, Vanelka. And what's the root? Again, halak. Come on and let's go. Again, a call, first common plural, imperfect. Come on and let's go, ha-Gilgal, to Gilgal. Yes, this is a cohortive form. Yeah, very good. Yeah, that's a call cohortive. Notice the hey at the end. Come on and let's go. Okay, and notice again the leku functions almost like we would say, come on. Mm. All right. Gilgal, remember, was a city close to Jericho, and it was one of the cities that Samuel made his regular circuit. If you recall back way back to chapter 7, he would go to Mizpah, Gilgal, and what, Shechem on a yearly circuit. And so that's where they're going here. Evidently, I'm assuming that the tabernacle and the ark would move to these different places as Samuel went. All right, because notice what he says next. Also, Gilgal was the place, I mean, it has quite a history, where the pillars were set up after they crossed over Jordan.
Where they had the pile of foreskins.
Where they had the, right. So there's a number of events that happened in Gilgal. Okay. So, come on, let's go to Gilgal. U-nechadesh. Now, even if you've never seen this word, see the root? Chadash. What word do you know? Chadash. Means new. This is the verb based on, or that the adjective is based on. Notice that it's a PL form. So, come on, let's go to Gilgal so that we can renew, chadesh, make new, sham, there, hameluka, the kingship. Alright, so things didn't go anywhere the first time. So they're going to kind of restart it, jumpstart it. Alright, now's the time to do it after Saul had showed himself worthy. Okay? Questions on 14?
Hanash, or Hodash.
Yes.
Is it renew in the PL and just, what is it in?
Yeah, to be new. In the call it would be to be new. I don't know how common it is in the call. But yeah, so this would be, if you have a stative, then it becomes factative, to make new. Usually that's what happens in the PL, but it becomes... So notice that it can take a direct object. Right? I'm trying to think of another word that it does, that you have a passive in call. If I do, I'll tell you. Verse 15, Vayelku kol ha'am ha'gilgal. So all the people went to Gilgal. Notice how Hebrew does it here. We've seen throughout, there's no preposition on Gilgal, no directive. Hey, you don't have to have that. See? It's just, literally it's an accusative, but sometimes you see that in Greek. When you have place names like this, in English you have to supply the preposition too. Okay? Vayam lekusham et Shaul lifnei Yahweh ba Gilgal. Okay, Yam liku. Notice the root is from malak. Okay, what's the conjugation? Just look at the pointing. And it is a hifil. So if the call means to be king, What would this mean?
Make him
king. Yeah, to make him king. See? And they coronated Saul there, or made him king there, Lifnei Yahweh, before the Lord at Gilgal. Now notice that phrase, before the Lord. That suggests to me that that's where the tabernacle or ark was at that particular time. Before the Lord normally means, you know, if you're going to sacrifice before the Lord or worship before the Lord, it's a reference to where he has made himself especially available. Okay? Now notice the next phrase too. Vayizbechu sham zevachim shelamim. And they sacrificed their sacrifices, shelamim sacrifices, sacrifices, and then again fellowship sacrifices. The special kind in which the people actually participated in eating them, and these were especially offered in times of thanksgiving and celebration. So that seems to be what's happening here. Okay, Lifnei, before the Lord. Va yismach sham Shaul, and rejoice there Saul. It's interesting how they keep repeating sham. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced ad me'od. What's the ad me'od? How does that function here? What would you say?
Until is ad.
Until and me'od is what?
Much.
Until much. So how would it function? How is this functioning here? Notice that this is talking about the process
sort of
indicated by the verb. Yeah. It's as an adverb. See. So it's talking about the kind of rejoicing they did. So in English, we'd have to translate it like that.
In other words, they partied.
Yeah, they partied hard. Saul rejoiced there, and Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced, you know, greatly, partied extensively. That doesn't sound right. You know, they really partied. They really had a good time. That's what ad me'od means. And that ad me'od, I looked it up, is used a number of times throughout the Bible for that. In Psalms and in the narrative as well. Different kinds of genre.
But it's like a joyful...
It just is an adverb that is saying something about the verb. So it's an adverb. So we have to translate it in good English with that force. Okay. Any other questions about chapter 11? Okay, chapter 12. Vayomer Shemuel el Kol Yisrael. Here's the passing of the baton. Then Samuel said to all Israel, Hine, look, Shemati bekol kem. Listen, I obeyed your voice. Notice Shema plus Beit. I listened to your voice, or I obeyed your voice. Lekol asher amartem li. In accord with everything which you said to me. All right. Va amlik alekem melech, and I established a king for you. I made a king alekem over you. See, notice that you have, that's the same conjugation as we got up in verse 15. See? Except it's first common, vav consecutive, first common singular. All right. So notice he says, I obeyed you, and notice this phrase, this va amlik alekem melech, really explains further what he meant in that I obeyed your voice in everything which you spoke. Doesn't mean whatever the people said I did, but he's speaking specifically about this thing, the getting of a king. Okay. Questions? Yeah.
Why is Melech there? Is it necessary or is it?
Yeah, it's kind of almost superfluous from our perspective. It's almost superfluous. So in English, yeah, you have to say I established a king over you.
So it functions as an accusative, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, in this particular case, that's how it would. Okay.
Wouldn't that just be like the prophet or the, you know, I'm trying to think, a bishop coronating a king?
Mm-hmm. That's so all. That's what it is. That's what it's.
So it's a connection between I, you know, coronated a king versus I kinged a king.
Right.
So that's a different understanding.
Right. See, notice how, and it's a good example of how meanings are so dependent on their context. So that in verse 15, you don't have Melech, and you would translate that word, and I made Saul king there, and they made Saul king there. They coronated him as king. Here in this context, where Samuel's talking about himself, his own actions, and you have Melech there, then you have to adjust in English what the Amlik means, see? And I established a king over you or something like that, see? So we're always working with context, and words only have potential meanings. Vata, so now notice how Vata functions here when he's reaching a conclusion based on what's come before. Notice that there's some point that he wants to make, and now he's about to reach it. And so, Hine, look, Hamelech mit Halek lifnehem. So look, the king is walking before you, is going before you. Notice that that's a hit pael, which he's going to use throughout this passage. Notice how Hine, you might want to translate it in English like this, and so you can see that a king is walking before you. So you notice, you can kind of translate, because Hine indicates visual perception usually. Sometimes it's a mental, like we use see sometimes too, you know. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but here it's visual. Okay? Va'ani, notice he uses the pronoun. You don't need it for sense, but again, if you're reading out loud, as for me, I have become old. Zakanti. See? I have become old. Va'sabti. This is from the root sieve, to mean to be gray-haired. All right? So you have a hollow verb, and that's why it has the pointing that it does. So as for me, I have become old and gray. Ubanai. And as for my sons, Hinnom, look, they, itkem. Look, they are with you. Okay. Va'ani. And I, now look, see, and again, as for me. So notice he keeps saying these pronouns, and it makes sense because he's contrasting him with Saul. All right. So, and again, and as for me, hit halakti, I have walked before you. And notice walk before doesn't literally mean walk. You might want to translate something like this, I've been your leader. Some translations actually do that. That's what he means. See, I've led you. See, I've walked before you, min ne'urai, from my youth. Remember, you have this abstract concept with youth, na'ur. And here it's plural. Very often abstract concepts are in the plural here. And I know it's plural because how? Notice the pronominal suffix is plural. It's not min uri, it's min urai. Everybody see that? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ad hayom hazeh, up till this day. Verse 3. Hinani anu bi neged Yahweh v'neged Meshicho. Look, I, or behold, eyes for me. Anu bi, answer before me. This is from Anna. Or maybe bear witness before me. Again, a call imperative. Or bear witness against me, as you'll see. Before Yahweh and before Meshicho and before his anointed. Notice how he's referring to Saul now. As the Meshicho, as his anointed. Before Yahweh and his anointed. That's significant. Okay. Now, the word order is a little strange here. Et shor mi lakachti. And I would translate this. Notice the et tells you that this is the direct object of the verb. The bull of who have I taken? All right. And the chamor, and the ass of who, lakachti, have I taken? The et mi, and who, ashakti, who have I oppressed? Et mi ratzoti, who have I crushed? That's from ratzatz. A call imperfect first common a call perfect first common singular from Ratzat. Who have I crushed? In other words, these other ones would be who have I defrauded and who have I used my authority in a wrong way against. Okay. And from the hand of who lakakti have I taken a kofar, have I taken something like a bribe or a payment? Ve al im einai bi. So that I might hide my eyes at him. That alam means to, it almost always occurs in the hip field. And this is a hip field, to hide something. So in other words, have I ever taken a bribe so that I would ignore what someone else was doing.
So is this an issue of justice? In other words,
yes.
I have not been unjust
right.
as it relates to taking bribes.
Right. This whole thing is talking about, I mean, if you go way back, he says at the end of verse 2, look, I have been your leader. I've walked before you from my youth up until this day. And now he says, testify against me. See, that's why he gives that imperative. Testify against me before Yahweh and before his anointed. See, so notice he gives Saul a certain status here. Very interesting. As the one who implicitly is Yahweh's representative and therefore is now to lead like Yahweh. And to notice, I mean, it's very interesting the connection that Samuel sets up. And I guess this is the first time we see it. That connection simply continues as we continue to read the narrative. It's really interesting.
So is he almost telling, kind of warning the people, this is what you need to look for in this guy?
Yeah.
So that he follows.
It's kind of, yes, I mean, it's almost as if, it's
like
almost as if while he's talking to the people, he, you know, you almost can get him getting this implicit message to Saul, this is how you're supposed to be, see? So he kind of goes into great detail. The bull of whom, or the ox of whom have I taken? And the ass of whom have I taken? See, you know, in English we'd say, whose oxen have I ever taken? See, whose ass have I ever taken? And who have I ever oppressed? And who have I ever crushed? And from the hand of who have I ever taken a bribe so that I can, so that I would hide my eyes at it or at him? All right. If any of those things are the case, the ashiv lakem, then I will restore or return to you. I will restore what I've stolen, in other words. See? Okay? So yeah, theologically, I mean, I never noticed that before about the Meshicho, but it's very interesting what Samuel's doing here, kind of as his last thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, so really this is kind of the baton passing ceremony,
right.
in a sense.
Exactly, yeah. He's really telling them that. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have my sons as kind of backup, basically, is what he says.
And are the people present at this time? Is it just?
Yeah, it seems to be that the people are all there.
Yeah, it's almost like he's warning the people.
Yep. Right.
Like he almost knows that
right.
Saul's going to...
See, from verse chapter 11 to chapter 12, we have at chapter 11 they're partying, and now this is kind of the close-up. This is what kind of part of what went on during that whole thing. Okay? So verse 4, Vayomru, and they said, Lo ashaktanu, you have not oppressed us. See? Lo ashaktanu, the lo ratzotanu, and you have not crushed us, defrauded us probably, or robbed us, tzatzat, ratzatz again. The lo lakachta, and you have not taken miyad from the hand of anyone, me'uma, anything. Me'uma is simply a noun which means anything. Okay. Vayomer alehem, and he said to them, an aid, witness, that's a witness, an aid is Yahweh Bakem against you or to you. The aid, and an aid is his Meshicho. See, they're both aids. Hayom Hazeh, today, this day. Ki lo that not metzatem, that you have not found Beyadi in my hand Me'uma, that you have not found anything. Vayomer, and he said, and that's probably again referring to the people, aid, I'm a witness. Okay? Very good. Any questions? All right, good. Let's stop there. It's a good place to stop with a paragraph, and we will continue next week. Thank you for coming.